May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 1057. Light of those whose dreary dwelling borders on the shades of death, come and thy bright beams revealing, dissipate the clouds beneath. The new heavens and earth's creator in our deepest darkness rise, scattering all the night of nature, pouring day upon our eyes. In 1057.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, let us read in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, read chapter 8. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, margin, by sacrifice for sin, condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as I led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the spirits, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and blessed God, we do bow before thee and ask for help now to pray to thy great majesty, we bless thee. There is a throne of grace placed by God. But Lord, we're helpless, sinful worms of the earth, and we need much help to pray. Oh, do grant, Lord, thy Spirit. By the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, we read. And oh, how we fear praying and preaching and talking and so on without the Spirit. Oh, how we so often come to dry places. We really wonder what to do. But do grant there may be power with the word tonight. Or some dew from heaven. There may be the liberty of the Spirit given, Lord. May our cold hearts and be warmed and our hard hearts be softened. And do grant, Lord, that there may be authority in the word. Oh, God's authority, not man's. And it may, the word may indeed be to one and another, if it could please thee, the voice of their beloved, speaking to them through the word. Ah, that they might know the full glorious sense of the word of God, the word made flesh and dwelling among them and with them, among us tonight and oh, and with us in that personal way, we pray. Oh, we do confess our sins, Lord, our another day sinnership. Ah, it does matter. Oh, it's easy to say, well, we know we're sinners and can't help it. That's true, we are sinners and, oh, it's dreadful, but some of we can't help it, Lord, we're like it. It's dreadful, though. So we would rightly mourn in our houses apart and be grieved for grieving thee, being so wayward and rebellious and so fleshly and worldly, so forgetful of our heavenly friend, oh, so mindful of our rock and our rock that has bought us, yes, with his own heart's blood. Oh, make us ashamed of ourselves, we pray. And so bless us. And bring us, Lord, to thy blessed feet. It's reality we want, Lord. Ah, not mere emotions and imaginations. We have plenty of those, but oh, what a mercy to know that still small voice, that dew, that power from on high, that beloved Son, softening our hearts and oh, speaking peace to us, yes, in the witness of the blood of the everlasting covenant, being made real and precious and vital to us. Maybe a little application to our hearts and to our souls tonight, Lord, we humbly pray. Lord, we journey on and we're coming now to the toward the close of another year, last fortnight ahead now. And how time is whittling away, our time is. Lord, we're being swept along by time, like an incoming tide sweeps the debris before it. We feel like that, Lord. Oh, we're debris, all right, Lord. But we're being swept along and we want something solid. We want, Lord, to anchor in the rock. Oh, our feet to be placed upon the rock. That, oh, it may be well with us when we come to our latter days and our dying days, Lord, that we may know that our feet are upon that rock, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, the eternal rock. Ah, oh, that, and we may dwell under the shadow of that great rock in a weary land. Oh, do bless us and do us good tonight, Lord. Yes, kind physician, every healing medicine and done with it all for sinners, Lord. Yes, all for sinners. Oh, there's no balm for the righteous. Oh, no healing touches for the whole. But for sinners, Lord, thou camest to bleed, and I'm a sinner vile indeed. Lord, I believe thy grace is free. Oh, magnify that grace in me, we pray. So kind of, you know, our cases, our hard cases. All that's wrong with us. Oh, we're so crooked. But Lord, oh, without our righteousness, oh, my blessed Spirit, do be pleased to show us that loving man, that we might indeed know that he is the Lord our righteousness, the Son of God. We worship as Thomas did and say, my Lord and my God. And therefore we do pray that we plead for the magnifying of that grace. But Lord, for we're indeed sinners, but there is forgiveness with thee. Thou mayest be feared. And we're poor frail mortals, Lord, we're soon bowled over by what would the world call a small matter. But oh, we're so sensitive and so full of fear and so full of unbelief. And often worries and troubles come and catch us unawares, and oh, we often find they overtake us when we're in a sad and low condition spiritually. And we feel in the side of our heart, well, how can the Lord help me? But Lord, we believe that there's help. Blessed help laid upon one that is mighty. The sinner's friend exalted, chosen, exalted out of the people. Yes, Lord, salvation is for sinners. So may there be some gracious counsel from God to our souls tonight, we pray. And as we approach another year, we do petition thee that thou bring us safe into the year and unfold that year in thy covenant goodness and mercy to us with many fears. But we pray that make thy goodness pass before us in the way. And that, Lord, that thou go before us every step, be that same God to us in the approaching year has been to us this year, all the years of our lives thus far. Yes, Lord, how good and gracious thou hast been. We sing that hymn on Jehovah Jireh. The mount it shall be seen how good and gracious he has been. And it is so, Lord. We daren't deny it, Lord. Oh, do hear prayer. To be with us in the coming year, could it please, the everlasting light and our guide through that year, the coming year. Think of all those poorly among us and worried and anxious. Some may be in deep waters, or there may be careless ones among us, those that are thoughtless about their soul and eternity. Perhaps look forward in a carnal way to the coming year. Ah, Lord, awaken them and may they know their true state. But remember those who are exercised in that tender fear of God, or desiring much help and show them mercy. And crying, thou'lt be with them to the end. Oh, we do pray for each and all their various afflictions and trials and worries. We humbly pray. Bless this church and people and grant them thy spirit. Dwell among them. Work that mighty work of grace among them, we pray. Order their way safely. Bless the office bearers, give them wisdom and grace, godly fear and love, and give them that perseverance they need to press on in the good way, the narrow way. And give them, Lord, that singleness of eye to thy honour and glory, Lord Jesus. With much prayer in this place, touch many hearts yet to walk in gospel ordinances, to do these things in remembrance of thee. Bless the generations, the older folks like ourselves now, and the middle-aged generation, the younger folks, and the youth and the children, and dear little ones. Oh, we bring little ones, Lord, affectionately to thee, to lay thy hands upon them and bless them in due time. Help us, Lord, all our providence and concerns for the daily business and the daily duties of life, the married and the unmarried, and the mothers and wives, housewives in the home life. Pray for them. In peculiar and particular trial that seems unique to themselves, yet may they see thy good hand throughout their friends that command deliverances for them. Oh, to count our blessings, Lord, so much to be thankful for, we really have. Was not dealt with us after our sins, rewarded us according to iniquities, hast in wrath remembered mercy and spared us, brought us on praying ground, brought us into need, bless the needy. Oh, it's good to need God, good to need Christ. O Lord, and do hear prayer then, that thou bless every needy soul, and all to count our blessings and mercies. For our cup runs over in so many ways. Please be our future, let us hide in thee. We think of our land and nation, pray for our new government. Oh, that, Lord, they may acknowledge thee. Oh, raise up some godly men in high places, we pray. And Lord, we thank the deliverance from the Marxist, anti-Semite, and the one who showed friendship and spoke warmly of terrorists. We thank for that deliverance and do pray, Lord, that we may be enabled to be separated from the European Union, that Babylon, yet live as good neighbours and be able to trade as normal in a right way, but independent. We pray thou bring this about. We thank thee that the referendum has been confirmed and the enemies have been overturned, those who would sell us into other nations. But Lord, we do pray, may remember this as well. Thy kingdom is not of this world. Our nations come and nations go. Empires like our empire came and it's gone. And we're all going this way of the whole earth, and we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. These are the vital things. We won't be unmindful of thy mercy to the land, but oh, make us ready, Lord, ready for our end, to stand before thy face. Oh, my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. O wash in thy precious blood, and take my sins away. We pray, Lord, for another harvest. Thank the beautiful seasons, the warmth and the cold and the rain and the sunshine, and pray all may work for another harvest. But now we turn to thy word. Oh, our own harvest time. Do gather us safely, Lord. Oh, to be ready to die. Oh, to be ready to depart. Oh, to come in as a shock of corn fully ripe and may await the reaper, the angel to reap us. Oh, to be taken home to glory. Lord, that's what we pray for. A wonderful work of grace in our hearts, in our lives. What an amazing thing to be ready when such a poor sinner like oneself, and like many of us indeed, should be ready to depart and not wish to stay behind. You know what we're like by nature, we're earthbound, Lord. Ah, but it's thy work. Oh, thou canst make us ready. Oh, thou canst soften our heart, and thou canst sanctify us and wean us from the world and all earthly things and earthly ties. That's a great work of grace we pray for, Lord, to do those things for us. But now let's turn to thy word, or do loose this stammerous tongue and give the strength and the voice as well as the body. We pray, and so do help us now, and bless the people. Oh, one's ministry may not be a dry breast, but there may be that living water. Oh, that life in the Word. Command the blessing from above, we pray, and pardon, Lord, many, many, many mighty sins. Oh, do receive us graciously, Lord, as we plead thy glorious, all-prevailing name. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 690. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. Hymn 690.
complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. We ask your prayerful attention to Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, and to verse 32. Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We have set before us here in this verse God's greatest act of love and kindness on all his condescending and descending love and grace to sinners, to die for the ungodly and rise the third day for their justification. And he would not spare his well-beloved son, whom he loved. And the apostle, in declaring this, reminds these Roman believers that he also then will, and ask it by way of a question, how shall he not with him also give us, poor sinners in our pilgrimage, all things that we need, all grace and all help, and all supplies, protection and care, and bring his dear people safely through? How safe are the people of God, really, if we consider the pure doctrine? Ah, but often they feel so unsafe. Ready to halt, ready to perish, overwhelmed in many solemn matters, with a sinful nature and unbelieving heart as well to go with it. But here you see, we have set before us a free and a finished salvation. A finished salvation, yes. For he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And of course, if you're walking after the Spirit, you'll control the weakness of the flesh, but the Spirit groans. Your inner man, the inner man of your soul, your new man of grace, hates your carnality and groans under it, and cannot bear it. Then you make many confessions and supplication to be saved from our sins. We need saving from our sins. I don't mean just in the the first sense of the Lord has saved his people from their sins and that's it. We need saving from our sins every day. We may not make shipwreck of faith. We may endure and overcome. And here set before us then is something very blessed and very sacred, and how he shows, you see, that how those who are in the Spirit, they walk after the Spirit. In spite of the conflict, the preceding chapter, of course, there the apostle goes into the warfare of the soul, the flesh doth against the Spirit, and so on. The good we would, we do not. If we would not, that we do. We confess, how to perform I know not, wretched man. But you see, dear friends, you who groan after Christ are not in the flesh, that is, under the reign of the flesh, the real sense there, the dominion of it, under the dominion of Christ. So you're kept alive, kept poor, kept in need, having to pray your way along, having to fight the good fight of faith. Though often you're to your own judgment and your own soul, your own feelings, as it were, of the new man of grace, how, oh, you see, so much seems to stand in jeopardy. Yet that new man of grace enables you to look to Christ and to look to Christ. So you see, my friends, we're not walking along in lovely golden slippers, safe to heaven. It's shoes of iron and brass that we need. And it performs that promise, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And we need that strength ministered, do we not? So we must come then to this particular verse. There are many beautiful verses in the chapter, are there not? But we have to try and confine ourselves to verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You see, friends, let us consider then this great love which loved us. We look at verse 37, you see. There he speaks of the things that seem to want to separate us and those things that seem to come to our condemnation. He says, who is he that condemneth? Christ that died. If rather is risen. Who shall separate from the love of God? Shall distress? Or tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Often these troubles seem as though they're going to separate us, and we won't overcome. As it is written, here's the pathway of the psalmist, as well as the apostle himself now. As it is written, this is in Psalm 44, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter. All the arrows from the pit, the temptations of the enemy, weakness of the flesh, the carnal reasoning and nature. So much in providence, sometimes the trying of your faith, God is silent. But my friends, he says, nay. Though you know these things, and often slain in your own soul's comfort, yet all you can do is to cry after Christ and groan after the Lord. And therefore he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How wonderful. God's people cannot be conquered, but they're engaged in a solemn warfare, either unto death or to life. But you see, Jesus will give them the victory, and their faith does not stand in their own wisdom, but in the power of God. That's the sweet truth. The faith he's given you, it doesn't stand in your wisdom or my wisdom. My strength, your strength. My integrity, your integrity. But in the power of God. And that is why, my friends, though you're killed all the day long and have to be killed, cherry hope in yourself, it does us good, really, though it's painful. Yet we shall overcome in that warfare through him that loved us. More than conquer him that loved us. And you see, in loving us, come back to verse 32, he that spared not his own son. What has the Lord Jesus then done for his dear people? Spared not his own son. Oh, remarkable doctrine here. Jesus is the Son of God. Truly, properly, Almighty God, the Eternal God. Co-eternal with his Father and with the Holy Ghost. Blessed God, blessed God. Yet, in the fullness of the time, he assumed our nature in the womb of the Virgin by the shedding of the Holy Ghost. That holy thing was conceived and came forth from the womb. But that real human being, I say very carefully, but it's true, a real baby, a real child, my friends, as real man, real humanity, body and soul, but holy, holy, holy. Wonderful truth. He could not sin in that nature by reason of the virtue of his divine nature. There we see such a beauty. I say carefully, if Christ had been merely a man and not God, oh friends, the first Adam was overcome. And if the second Adam from heaven, Lord of all, had not been the Son of God, the subtleties of the devil could overcome such a good and holy person. But no, he's the Son of God. Here's the wisdom that defeated Satan. Here he was nonplussed. Here, my friend, he was bruised. He couldn't touch him because he's the Son of God. Do you see a safety and a beauty there? And God, your real friend, your real solid, long-suffering friend and Saviour, who stooped so low for poor, shallow, miserable sinners like ourselves, so ready to turn aside, making so many mistakes, often like the disciples, fools and slow of heart to believe the word of God. Or may the Holy Ghost make the Lord Jesus precious to us. And I say at this time, I don't like the word really term Christmas, we just use it in a common way, don't we? But nevertheless, you see, the Western world, or Christendom, remembers his nativity at this time of the year. And it's not wrong to remember certain things at certain times of the year. The apostle gives us liberty in the epistle in this matter, but may we do it in the spirit. Well, it's good to remember this, but oh, to have some meditation, my friends. Some real meditation. When perhaps we lay aside much of our labours and to spend a time with a family, or to think upon his name. The tremendous stoop. That precious, holy babe born at Bethlehem grew into a man. But what sort of man? Holy man, yes. Blessed man, glorious man, yes, yes. But a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, tempted in all points like as we are, hard to believe, yet without sin. Oh, here's the beauty, yet without sin. Here's your safety, yet without sin. Oh, the loveliness of Christ as seen in his sacred humanity. God with us. That blessed one who never said no to a poor, needy sinner. If you think of it, he sent no one away. No one empty away from Christ, you know. Yes, they came guilty, caught out in their sins, sometimes so exceedingly wicked. Oh, blind, lame, lepers, deaf, dumb, leprosy, and all the various ailments, my friends of those times and our times as well, you see. And he healed them all. Did he examine them? Now, what sort of life have you led? And have you ever done this? And are you a very good and holy person? Nothing like that. That's man's religion, that is. It's all under the law. No, my friends, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. Does he see my faith? Does he see your faith? Oh, be thankful that he said to his disciples, "Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Oh, my friends, in the tossed in the sea, where is your faith, he said. But he loved them. They did have faith, of course. They cried a little, but rather rudely. Care thou not that we perish? Almost seemed to imply there was some carelessness with Christ, that he wasn't noticing things and wasn't looking after them properly, or things like that. That's what it implied. Care they not that we perish, Master? Were they not safe? If he was the blessed Son of God, were they not safe? Yes. A little faith, though, you see. If the dear Lord Jesus, my friends, is your Lord and your God, and unite in some sacred measure, can trace it out in the call and the change from your wickedness and your former ways and life. Maybe just you went to a chapel and were a good, self-righteous sort of Christian and the form of godliness, or maybe you went right off into the world, but the Lord has touched you. Now you're being brought down as a poor man, having to pray your way along. A poor seeking soul, having to commit your way. And crying for his blessing, his help and his mercy, you see. Sitting in the chapel and saying, yes, but Lord, I'm vilest of them all. Oh, have you any faith? Even a little faith to say, yes, Lord, bless me. Thou art the Christ. There's none that can but thyself. Oh, soften my heart and bless me. Forgive my sins. Make thyself more fully known to me. My friends, we can't know Christ too much. And the Lord's people don't feel they know him so much, they can just rest short of any further exercise to win him. No, they need him very much. And my friend, the older you get, you'll find that you need Christ more and more. But I've digressed slightly, haven't I, here, you see. You see, he stooped so low to redeem us from death. You find it hard to really use right words for that he entered into so willingly and voluntarily, to die for sinners, to die for sinners' sakes, to take their sins. Do your sins sting you, friend? Do past remembrances pain your eyes? Do you feel bitter sometimes now? Do you feel dreadful with yourself? The thoughts suddenly arise in your heart, the old nature, trying to bubble over as it won't get you again. Oh, my friend, do you know rebellions against a good God? It's a serious thing, isn't it? Ah, oh, my friends, or do you find yourselves being stirred up? Old nature getting stirred up again. He took them all. Not sins of your own days of carelessness and unregeneracy, but the sins of your whole life. Oh, Hart put it so well, doesn't he? Sins against the holy God. Says Gates, his love, his blood. He knew that after the first call, you see. And your awful thoughts and bad spirits are against the blood of the lasting covenant, which you know to be blessed and precious. Where, you know, the stoop and the love of God to take your sins of rebels, upon him. The disciples all forsook him and fled in the vitler. I know they had to, because he must tread the winepress alone, but do you see how shallow they were? They had no part, that is, I mean, no part in working this great redemption. He trod the winepress alone. It's God's salvation by the God-man. And his disciples didn't aid him in it, though they partook of it. They benefited from it. They were blessed by it. But they behaved so badly at the vital time. They forsook him and fled. And finally, Peter denies him those and curses, you see. This is the best that man can do. Oh, strong Peter, as weak as water he was in the end, like you and I, would be left to ourselves. So will he not freely give you much grace? He freely gave Peter grace. Oh, forgiving love. He looked upon him and broke his heart while he was sinning. This is love. Oh, think of then the awful cost. I was saying just now, let's come back to it. Do you feel so bitter with your sins sometimes? Your past offences? And still, oh, you tremble. The capability of that sinnership still. Well, Pastor Mason J.S. Gosling said this, something like this, within the last 10 years of love. I can't quite remember when it was now. He said, it's seen of late, as never before, he was capable of every sin left to himself. It's a solemn statement to make. Capable of it. And we're capable of every sin left to ourselves. Ah, but you see, he delivered them up for us all. So he says, he that spared not his own son and put his righteous servant to grief and delivered him up for us all the dear people that his father had given him. And why you? Why you? Why me? If ever lie in hell were not salvation free, I believe, friends, you will know the apostle's pathway. He groaned with himself. And Jesus in his earthly ministry groaned at the sepulchre of death, touched with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean. He's felt the same. He genuinely wept. Genuinely wept with the sorrowing family. And right into their grief and their sorrow. This is what sin has done to my dear people who I love. And though they still were full of unbelief, especially Martha resisted rolling the stone away in unbelief. But he still performed that wonderful miracle to show them clearly he is the resurrection. And he can bring you out of all your deeps and griefs and woes and troubles. He can bring us out of all the death of our terrible human nature. And that human nature that still infests you on your pilgrimage. Oh, that human nature that defiles your conscience again and again. That human nature will destroy you if Jesus didn't reign and that his grace did not superabound. But we're humbled in the pathway, aren't we? So you see, God's dear people are saved because he would not spare his son from desperate grief, the grief of your love of sin. It grieved him. And your actual deeds and your sinful thoughts and sinful nature laid upon him, made a curse. And knew in his own holy soul that terrible desertion, forsaken of God and trod the winepress alone. I do not believe there was any division in the Godhead. That could not be. But the holy suffering man Christ Jesus at Calvary. Oh, how he served and loved God. And yet put to grief. There's a mystery here which we can't fathom. I cannot make much pronouncement upon because we fear we shall sin. But he was still the Son of God. Godhead cannot sin. And sacred humanity could not sin. But Jesus felt the grief of it and the sorrow of it. We must draw a veil, not pry and separate in our or dissect the workings of the humanity or of the divinity. It can be most dangerous, you know. We just believe he's the Christ, the Blessed One. We have that expression, declaration of the word of God by the centurion, when he saw the demonstration at his death, truly this was the Son of God. There was something special here. And do you see anything special here in his death? Oh, specially blessed, specially dreadful, your sinnership. But think of the everlasting love, the special love to sinners like you and I. You should suffer, bleed and die for you, your sins, my sins. So, he that spared not his own son. You see, it's asked by a question for you and I to consider it. He would not, I say most reverently, he could not spare his own son. Because of the oath of the promise, he cannot lie. And having spoken, he must do it. For he's God. Isn't that a beautiful truth, my friends? God cannot lie. So that means the promises are sure. The promises spring forth. For the definite counsel of God declared in the first promise, the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. That means the promises of help and mercy, free grace, love, yes, and the whosoever believeth, whosoever shall call, whosoever cometh, they stand. And he saw their faith as they came. I ask again, does he see your faith? Does he see my faith? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He was up, yes, unto death, but unto resurrection. He's risen. Yes, he's no longer held in death. He rose the third day. He delivered up unto the will of God. He should die and rise the third day for our justification. They should ascend. Having descended first, he now has ascended into heaven. The living Saviour sitting upon the throne of grace, looking upon you and knowing your case. So he looks down the height of his sanctuary, you see, Psalm 102. Yes, he holds the groaning of the prisoner. Oh, my friends, he knows the case of the poor. He hears their cries. He hears their petitions. He hears their confessions and their supplications. Lord, bless me. Do give me a real work mighty in my heart, Lord. Bring me to thy feet, Lord. He hears those things. You know, the dimension of our life. I say very carefully and reverently, the Lord knows more about me than I know about myself. I say very carefully to you as well, my friends, knows more about you than you know about yourself. But it's in love to his elect people, his dear people. And your election is manifested by the exercise of your soul. No other way. It's not just by what you can do or what you may say. It's the exercise. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Bless me indeed. Forgive my sins. Be with me, Lord, and help me. Supply my need. Go before me. Do feed my soul. Be with me right to the end. To borrow from Bona, O wash me in thy precious blood. Take my sins away. There's his knowledge. Your humble trust in him, yet needing to be confirmed and strengthened in the faith, waiting for another token. But I must hasten. He that spared not his own son, but if not from all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? With him who is now in heaven. I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. And therefore he's preparing a place in heaven till the end of time. And then he'll come again the second time. Yes, if I go away, then I'll come and receive you unto myself. There he is in heaven on the throne of grace, hearing the prayer of the poor and needy. So how shall it with him in heaven? And that means what he's brought about and what he's accomplished, having slain the devil and his powers and abolished death and put away sin and made a way for sinners. Yes, he's brought this about. We're not free to give you all the grace, all the graces, all the love, all the mercy you need. What are these things then he will freely give us then, my friends? Well, now let us deal with first things first. Yes, there's a divine order. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There, as Christ was speaking, the Sermon on the Mount, he was speaking of the food and the raiment. The other things will be added. But in seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So grace with us, this freely given us all things, will give us then a right exercise and will give us that true work of God in our heart. And especially I want to speak of faith. The mother of grace is sometimes the old divines have called it. The principal grace, faith, and the other graces spring forth, that giving you faith to believe in him, to believe in the Son of God, to believe in him who is now at the right hand of power. So he says, does he not? Did he not say in his word, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also. Believe in me, oh, in my fullness of grace, in my great love, in my loving heart for you, in my death, in my resurrection, in my victory, in my merit of my life and my death and my resurrection. Believe all that I have accomplished in Jerusalem. Oh, believe in me that I have all power. That I am the Almighty with my Father and the Holy Ghost. That I am love. That I am very merciful and very gracious. Yes, let not your heart be troubled. Freely give us all things. Yes, living faith. Living faith. A true faith that judges him faithful, as Abraham did and Sarah did, that promised. And therefore to commit our way and cast every care and bring our concerns to him, to trust him. When his government and wisdom over us, to own and acknowledge his government in our length of days and his ordering of our days upon earth. Our great need of him to give us faith to be fruitful. A true faith worketh by love, which brings forth fruit unto eternal life. He'll judge you for your works, which is the fruit of faith. We're saved by his grace. My dear friends, he gives the faith to believe and trust, and that brings forth fruit. If you notice in the scriptures, quite clear, he judges us for the fruit of our lives, our works. Read that clearly in Matthew, do we not? With regard to the sheep and the goats gathered around the throne of judgment, you see. You see, but it's that precious faith he gives that brings us to, oh, cast the care and the salvation of our never-dying souls upon him. Get that faith to see in him. Yes, yes, his tender, loving heart was engaged to be our surety, everlasting surety, the poet says. Yes, my friends, he's accomplished that full salvation. So as we need that salvation, we cry from the blessings and the helps from him. that he may comfort our hearts about our sins and give us those tokens, that right exercise about our lives, and to make us gentle and tender and to fear him, and that we may obey his voice and esteem his will, in heaven lean hard upon him, and yes, truly commit our way and seek the grace of submission and him to teach us to do his will. Make us submissive to his divine will, not to be covetous and rebellious, and our poor and human nature is wandering this way and wanting this and wanting that, but to be, have that godliness with contentment. To be manifest as among the less and least of all saints. The Apostle Paul was so sanctified and tried in his pathway. He wrote most sincerely and by the Holy Ghost. So it's the Spirit's writing, really, in experience from the heart of the Apostle. Yes, he confessed that unto the less and least of all saints with this grace given. Now, that was most sincere. He wasn't saying to be sanctimonious and sound good, like we strict Baptists can say things that sound good. No, blessed of all saints. He really meant it. What grace is needed to know our real place and state before God? He was an apostle. But he knew, because of his sins and the love of God to him, the effect of the work of grace, the sanctifying grace, humbled in the dust, less than it of all saints, is this grace given. Oh, my dear friends, Mr. Charles Cooper from Fenstand, of course, some of you remember, or will remember more, can know more than I did, of course. He said, you know, can truly say, less and least of all saints, and he was a saint too, by one or two odd things he said to me. They didn't make profession. It was a sinner saved by grace, you see. That's what we are, we hope so. Less and least of all saints is this grace given. He really meant it. See, here we have that true faith. We think nothing of ourselves, but, oh, to think reverently and in delights upon him, to think upon his name, to stand in awe, a spirit of worship and love and adoration, as you may consider all his finished work for you, my friend. Oh, the Lord, give us more of that precious faith, and then in the trial to trust, because faith is tried, and therefore, as deep calls on the deep, the noise of the water spout, so our faith gets so tried. And you're in places and find yourself tossed about and not to know what to do. Not Jehoshaphat, neither know we what to do. Arise upon thee. You have an exercise. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Here's faith in exercise. You do not want to run before the Lord. You must wait upon him, afraid to presume. And yet you find that exercise bubbles and works and grows. And though you try and rid the burden, yet you cannot rid yourself of the love of God. And what a mercy, you can't. The effect of the love of God bring you to obey his voice, what of your beloved, whatever that exercise may be. Providential, home, concerns of family, following Christ, putting on, taking up that cross daily to follow him. These great matters. And what he's called you to, maybe. So many different things. Ah, friends, you see, we need him to increase that faith. But other grace I must speak of as well. Oh, another. The first principal grace from faith is love. Now, you see, you think I'm getting the wrong way around, but really, the Scripture shows, you see, it's his love to us that gives us faith. And you therefore walk in that love and value that love as you live by faith. For the just shall live by his faith. And the Lord God Almighty justifies the ungodly, which believe in his Son, have faith in his Son. And therefore they taste in this way of sweet grace, everlasting love to them. Oh, that love beyond all conception. Oh, love beyond all conception great. I think it's hymn 10. Everlasting love God his own elect embraced. Yes. How Gatsby says, love cannot from its post withdraw. Nor death, nor hell, nor sin, nor law can turn the shortest heart away. The devil can't turn the shortest heart away. Though you're like a raging bull inside like you sometimes. And your sins don't turn your shortest heart away. They grieve him. He may frown, he may withdraw the favour for a season. Correction doesn't turn his love away from you, his heart from you. All the love of God. Nor death, nor hell, nor sin, nor can turn the short heart away. He'll love his own to endless day. He'll see them again. Love stooped so low. Love bled and died. Love now reigns in heaven to help you, to save you, to do you good. Oh, the sweet grace of love he gives. We love him because he first loved us. His love begets love in you. And we know, oh, how low the scriptures go. How beautiful that truth. When you're really put to it to know whether you're a child of God under trial and temptation. Or how we read, and we know. The script witnesses this. They are the children of God because we love the brethren. Love the brethren. Do you love the brethren in Christ? I know we can all be grumpy and awkward and different dispositions and get under each other's skin, as it were, in our natural man. We're poor, lost people, aren't we, by nature? But no, that love, it binds. And what's the real union in what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now, there's a union in the church. There's a unity of God among God's dear people. Unity of the Spirit. What think ye of Christ? Why? The Blessed One. My friend. Ah, 'twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree. Open the channel of mercy to me. And my dear friends, he gives you that new heart that's tender and broken and contrite, does he not? He freely does it. Freely does it. And he freely supplies your need and provides in providence for you. And orders your way safely, freely, by his government. The government of his love and his grace towards you. So he says, you see, should not freely give us all things, all things. So this precious grace, you see. But I want to speak of the freely flowing, the freeness of it. You know, dear friends, in opening that fountain, he opened it freely of his own love, goodwill and volition. Under no constraint of any created creature or power, yet being the Almighty, he so willingly and voluntarily laid down his life, and when he tried to touch upon it, took our sins upon him. And God, our most merciful Heavenly Father. Yes, we carefully use the expression Father. It's a great mercy, my friends. Perhaps have a divine touch in the night watches, maybe, when the Lord has visited you or some other time and shown you he's your Father. And you can reverently worship and love him as your Father. It's a great mercy. And what a wonderful fact that your Father loved you and gave you to his dear Son in eternal counsel. And that same eternal counsel, his beloved Son, loved you and with the Father, and so covenanted to come and bring you out of this distress and death, and take you safely home to be in paradise with God, with Jesus on the throne. Oh, on such love my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Say, was not in holy wonder. Woe, Lord, such love to me. Yes, freely of his own grace. Therefore, the blessings that you need and are exercised for by the grace of God with you are freely given. And the scriptures show they are freely promised to be freely given. The promises show, yes, this is free blessing, free salvation. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The sense of the will is whosoever has a mind to it, a desire for it, a longing in his soul, whose heart is touched, whose will has been turned around toward God, to know him and win him. Therefore, your poor soul longs for his reign and his blessing, you see. Let him take. Let him come to the fountain. Let him ask of me. Let him open his mouth wide and call upon my all-prevailing name. Let his faith be seen in the exercise in this. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide. I began the work. Open it wide. I will fill it. I am so good. I am more blessedly good than you, my dear child, can ever believe that I really am. Oh, my dear child. Oh, his dear children, as he speaks to them, oh, my dear son and my dear daughter, you so limit me. You're so narrow in your poor, ruined nature. But I'll touch you, and I'll bring you to open your mouth wide. I shall show you marvelous things out of my law. You begin to see him, the letters of the gospel, becomes your beloved. But what grace we need still to press on as we see the day approaching. 25 past, I've got to stop. Freely give us all things. Yes, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He hath no money. Yea, come buy wine and my will, and buy milk without money and without price. Oh, my dear friends, you see, it's one blessed way is shown. Yes, I am the way. Anything in my name, I will do it. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. I must close. But you see, dear friends, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It also says this in the penultimate chapter of Revelation. Unto him that is athirst will I give the fountain of the water of life freely. And so, my friends, as poor sinners, humbly believing he's the Christ, call upon his precious name for all that they so much need, and to appear and perform and bless, he freely of his own love, grace and goodwill toward men, hears their prayers in his perfect way and blesses them indeed. May it be my portion, may it be your portion. So ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, bless thy own word of grace, and that was of the Holy Ghost. Please forgive all mistakes and follows in the preaching, but bless that which was true. Now, Lord, in tender mercy, a few things remain to do us good, and grant joining mercy to our homes in peace and safety. We plead thy precious name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day, and we hope Mr. Peck will be able to preach on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 732. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Hymn 732. Thank you.
grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.